Earlier this week, we talked about a new memoir writing program from Watermark Publishing called the Halea Aloha Series. The series editor is Darren Shugi, who also produced a new memoir called Allegiance, using the micro-narrative techniques in the program. Here's an excerpt from the book titled Photograph, Poolside Selfie at the Four Seasons Huala Lai.
The four of us seated in a row, my brother, me, my sister-in-law, my husband. My sister-in-law is pregnant, and my husband holds our five-month-old daughter in his lap, a portrait of two families in the making. Our bodies angled toward the camera as if this promised land will stop time from moving forward. The frame of towering palm trees and perfect blue skies evidence a holiday from life, not life itself. My brother and his wife will divorce within a year. A decade later, he and I will no longer speak. Other bodies will assume the position in these chairs. Other bodies will believe this paradise.
Wow, powerful. Gi also has another book out this year called Other Small Histories, published by the Poetry Society of America. She spoke with The Conversation's Jason Ubai about her recently released works.
I originally created Allegiance because I knew that people didn't know what a micro essay was or what these short forms that I was really excited about, what for the program, what it might be. But it was interesting because as I started putting it all together, it moved from being a teaching text into me really wanting to share my story, or, you know, a sliver of my story. As you know, a memoir is usually a slice of your life. And then I look at these short forms, these micro forms, as sort of a bite. So instead of having the whole cake at one time, you're actually having a few bites at a time. And so as I was working and putting these things together, I actually was getting, I wouldn't say I was getting emotional about it, but I was really moved by how important a lot of these stories were to me, and then also how important they were for me to actually have them be present in the world and on the page for my kids, but also sort of as a witness to my own life. And I don't say that, and I don't think most memoirs do this from an egotistical point of view, but it's more of a place of saying, you know, I had these experiences, and they felt really important, and again, they shaped who I am, and the decisions I've made, and I wanted to share this part of me with you. And I think it's also, I think it's cool to see different people's perspectives on things. And so as I was writing that, I just thought I'd write this and I'd be like, I bet my kids don't know this about me, or this is something that I never really wrote about something in my childhood. And I didn't realize how much it was still lingering sort of on the fringes of my mind. And so I got those down. And then I spent the time crafting it, and, you know, sort of layering in a lot of things to amplify the lyricism, which was important to me in this work. Everyone's going to be different with their work, and that will be my job as series editor to help people find their voice. But for myself with Allegiance, it was really about family. It was about ties, connections, and reconnections. You know, for me, it was an identity piece about being Chinese American. You know, what does that mean? And being Chinese American in Hawaii, what does that mean? And, you know, where do we put our allegiances? And so for me, when I landed on that theme, and theme is a really big part of any memoir, that really put a lot of things in perspective for me for this book.
I know in the book you mentioned your brother, and you hadn't talked to him for a while, but he recently reached out to you?
So it's one of these funny things that happens when you write and put something alive in the world, is that it kind of energetically, I don't know, I mean, I know that sounds kind of woo-woo, but it just kind of puts things in motion. And so I wrote about, a couple of places in the book, and one full essay on this called Artifact. I wrote about how my brother and I have been estranged for the past 20 years and pretty much incommunicado for the past 10. And I'd sort of made my peace with it. I wasn't happy with it. It caused me a lot of grief and a lot of sorrow. But I was kind of like, well, that's probably how it'll be. And I thought it would be like that for the rest of my life. And a week before the book was published, so mid-October, he reached out to me out of the blue. He didn't know about the book because we hadn't advertised about it or anything like that. And we reconnected. And we have since talked daily. And we usually FaceTime. We text. We email. We get on the phone. And it's been, I think, honestly, it's been the biggest thing that I'll remember for 2020 next to the pandemic. It was a huge deal. And I sent him the book. I said, hey, just so you know, this is coming out. I didn't know that we were going to reconnect, but here it is. And it was a huge powerful healing moment for both of us when he read it and he called me afterwards and was really emotional. And it was really powerful. And what that reminded me of is that we always write for ourselves first. In other words, you write the thing that feels most true and authentic. And you just share your own experiences. You know, we can't control what other people think or do, but we share where we are, and that can change things and move things in small ways, or in this case, in a really big, powerful way.
You also have another book out in 2020, and it shares some of micro memoirs as well with Allegiance, other small histories. Can you tell me what was what compelled you to write that book?
Other Small Histories, which was published this year by the Poetry Society of America, was actually originally written with the same intention of all of these micro stories and essays that I've been doing. I call them micro narratives. And it was really me trying to understand my matrilineal line. We have a lot of family secrets. We have a lot of women in my family tree who are unnamed, some who were mistreated. And we also had a very complicated scenario with my grandfather, who was actually very loving and very caring person, who had, as I discovered as I got older, that he had what I consider three wives. He had a village wife, which was an arranged marriage, his marriage to my grandmother, which was a legal marriage, and they were Christian. And then he had an affair and had a civil ceremony with his third wife, but he was still married with my grandmother. This is during the war in China, so it was very complicated. And I was really trying to find a way to give these women a voice. And so I did play with the form, and that's one reason why it appears as poetry rather than nonfiction, because I had to do some visualization about these pieces. Although I would say that if people were going to include that as a micro essay or micro memoir piece, could probably double as that. A lot of these pieces were previously published in different literary journals and fall under nonfiction or crave nonfiction and poetry and just micro as a general title. So for me, it was just, again, me trying to understand my family, give voice to these women in my family tree, and to do it in these small, really intense bites, because the truth of the matter was I didn't have a lot of information. So I didn't want to build up a complicated backstory that may or may not be true. So I gave myself a limit of 250 to 300 words to tell their story and to try to understand what I was experiencing through what I knew of them, and to make those very few words really work and amplify what I thought was their truth or my version of their truth.
Yeah, I found them very powerful, and you know, it's very vulnerable for you to write these narratives. And since you know you may not have all the facts, and you didn't, you know, like you said, you didn't want to create a complicated backstory, what kind of pressure did you feel to, when you were writing, that you were honoring them, but also, you know, revealing their truth?
You know, I think there's probably a reason that in my, you know, 20 plus years as a published author, I started in fiction, I stayed pretty much in fiction, and then I went to nonfiction, more, you know, traditional how-to type books. And then I went to poetry, and then I finally landed on personal essay and in memoir. And I think the reason why is because it's actually hard to tell your story, because you always question your, you know, is this true? I mean, and then when you talk about true, what does true mean, right? Are we talking about factual truth? Are we talking about emotional truth? And I think when we talk about memoir and personal essay, I really, and the program that I'm the series director for Hui Aloha, it's really about emotional truth. And so for these stories in my family where we really did not have the information, my great-grandmother doesn't even have a name, and nobody knows when she died or what happened to her. And I'm like, how is that possible? But it is possible. And of course, again, this was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and this is in China. I really just spent a lot of time trying to understand what my perspective of this was, what the perspective was coming through different family members who shared stories with me, my mother primarily. And then I really looked at the language. I paid very close attention to how I wrote a story and how I shared what I knew. And if it was something where I was really visualizing what I thought a truth could be, I tried to make it clear so the reader knew that. They knew that I was imagining, and they wouldn't be misled into thinking that this was in some family archive. And I just really, I think as a writer, one thing that we're called to do is to, one, really pay attention. And so I really paid attention, not just to my own life, but to how I was writing something and why I was writing this. And, you know, these are questions that I put forth to my students and clients all the time, like, why this story? Why is it important for you to write your memoir? And for me, I think because I'm in my 50s and I'm a woman and I'm a woman of color and I live in Hawaii and I'm Chinese American, I'm all of these things. And I think we're really aware of how important it is to amplify these voices. I decided, you know, in the past couple of years that I wanted my voice and the voice of the women in my family to have a place in history. And so I think that was the thing that kept me going when I got nervous about, should I tell this story? Do I have a right to tell this story? Am I even doing it well? Maybe somebody else could tell it better. All those sort of self-doubt things that come into writers, I was able to really get past it because it was really clear to me that it felt important to me personally. So, and that's what I would say for anybody who's trying to tell their family story, is to let your doubt sit on one side and just write. And then when you're done writing, you can look at what you have and then decide what you want to do with it.
That was Darian Shu Gi discussing her books, Allegiance and Other Small Histories. We'll have links to her work on our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.